I think sometimes we forget the power of prayer, which is why we don't pray like we should. And it might just be that this will be an encouragement not just to stimulate our prayer life, but also remind us that God works through prayer. And great things happen when we pray. Miracles happen. And I'll give testimony about something that God has done through this message. But I want you to know, whenever you purpose to pray, purpose to seek the Lord, and you're faithful to pray, and you're faithful to mention your request to God and boldly come to Him, I think you'll be amazed as you are faithful to do that, to see God answer your prayers. Let's read chapter 12, starting in verse 1. Do not stand. We're going to read all the way to verse 17. The Bible says, "Now about the time Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, he killed James the brother of John with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread." Brother Dave, I feel like I have an echo. Maybe we can turn it down just a little bit. Thanks. Verse 4. By the way, it's good to see you, Brother Dave. I apologize. I sometimes forget you're up there. But it's a blessing to have you back. I know you weren't feeling well, so praise God. Verse 4. "And when he had apprehended him, he put him in the prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people." Now, when it says Easter, we need to understand we're speaking of a particular Passover. We're not talking about the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus when we say Easter here. It's a Passover service, okay? What that would imply, and I believe the reason why Luke would have included it, is because there would be a lot of extra people around during Passover time. Okay. Verse 5. "Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. The angel said unto him, Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And he did so, or so he did. And he saith unto them, Cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision." He thought he was dreaming. Verse 10. "And when they were past the first and second ward, they came into the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened unto them of its own accord. And they went out and passed through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. When he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. There were many gathered together." What were they doing? They were praying. "And as Peter knocked on the door of the gate, the damsel came and hearkened, named Rhoda." Rhoda means rose. "And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness and ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, Thou art mad. She constantly affirmed that it was even so, and they said, It is his angel. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, Go show these things unto James and to the brethren. So, and he departed and went into another place." Father, one more time we pray your blessings. I pray you'll help us to understand your word. I pray you'll encourage us in our great need of prayer, Lord. Help us to understand the power of prayer. Help us to understand the expression of prayer in our life and the difference that it makes. And Lord, I pray that your blessings would follow. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Our family, we, during family devotions time, like to make sure that we pray every night before bed. We don't want it just to be an afterthought or something that we do without putting any heart into it. We try not to. One thing that helps is during our family devotions, we select a few things specific that we'll pray for as a family. One of the things we had been praying for is for an individual in our church that he would be saved. And it's amazing as we continue to pray and we pray and we pray and we've been praying for weeks and weeks and weeks. And then just this week, that particular person we've been praying for got saved. Praise God. So we as a family were then able to see firsthand the answer of our prayer. God answers prayers. He works in our behalf. He works in situations that cause us worry. He works whenever we fret. He works when we doubt. And He works through prayer. There's a lot of things in life that seem hopeless, isn't that right? Illnesses, certain loved ones being saved, or just getting right with God. Finances, relationships, whenever there's a damaged relationship and it's been so damaged we think it's never going to be repaired. It seems hopeless. Sometimes our physical condition, whether it be, I said illness, it could be something that we struggle with in the way of discipline, and we get discouraged because our discipline isn't what it should be, and then we begin to feel in that discouragement that it's a hopeless situation, and even at times we lose hope, don't we? We give up. We give in to our, whether it's a sin or whether it's just a compulsion, but we feel that it's hopeless at times. I think just learning how to do things feels hopeless sometimes. For some people, happiness all by itself is hopeless, or joy. For some people, discipline or getting past struggles. Or how about this, just reading your Bible and praying every day. I mean, that is right there almost a big enough challenge to cause some of us to say, boy, just doing that every day is a hopeless for me. But there are a lot of things in life that we feel are hopeless. Yea, there are things in our life that cause us to worry and to fret. And to us, they seem impossible. To us, they seem that there is no way that these things can take place. But God says nothing is hopeless. And He declares that to us tonight. What are you worried about? What are you fretting about? What are you struggling with? Where is your turmoil or your struggles in life? Because with God, there is nothing that is hopeless. Nothing.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, here's an example. God takes great care of His creation. Don't you think He cares much more for us? It says in Luke chapter 12, consider the lilies that how they grow. They toil not. They spin not. Yet I say unto you that Solomon, all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God doth clothe the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will He clothe you, O ye of little faith? So nothing in our life is hopeless when we pray. Nothing. Verse number 1, listen to what it says. Now about the time Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. What's happening here? Well, Herod's vexing the church. It means to oppress or injure. It's all political. For Herod, he wants nothing but to be promoted. He wants to promote himself. Now I already told you it's the time of Passover, so there's a lot more people in town. Yet another time or a chance for Herod to promote himself, to lift himself up. So he found that perhaps if he got one of the disciples and persecuted him, then it would gain him favor with the crowds. And his plan worked. He got James, didn't he? Verse 2. He killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Obviously interested in nothing but his own promotion. Verse number 3. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. than were the days of unleavened bread. So we see Herod, who has nothing in mind but promoting himself. He kills James, and now he has taken Peter. Peter is the most vocal of all the disciples. Peter, the pastor of the church in Jerusalem. Peter, the man of God, the great preacher. What if I get my hands on him? Oh man, my popularity will grow at that point. So he grabs him. Now, whenever it's time for Peter to stand trial, how do you think the verdict's going to go? I mean, he had no trouble getting James killed. James, what do you think's going to happen to Peter the next day? He's going to off of his head too. He wants to wait till the next day. He wants to make sure he has as many people to see this shenanigan as possible. He wants to gain popularity. Verse number 4. He apprehended him, put him in the prison, delivered him to 4 quaternions of soldiers to keep him. Why would he do that? Well, he doesn't wants to be sure he doesn't get away. He puts this watch on him, 16 soldiers watching 4 groups of 4, nonstop, 24/7. They were divided in their watches, 3 hours each. Yep. They would each take 3-hour period. You know, basically what's happening here is it's maximum security. And that's the picture. It's pretty vivid. I mean, I think God wants us to see that this is a fairly hopeless situation. Maximum security. James has just been beheaded the day before. There's no hope here. Peter, therefore, verse 5, was kept in the prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. You know, I don't think this is just one of those verses that slipped in there that doesn't really fit in the dialogue of this story. As a matter of fact, if we could maybe point the story back to one verse, whether it's coming to it or coming away from it, it all points to this verse. The church is praying without ceasing. And we lead up to this verse, and now we flow away from this verse. This is the point. What happens whenever God's people pray? What happens whenever we seek the Lord fervently, believing that God can do a miracle? You say, well, wait a second. I mean, didn't you see the testimony of the church? I mean, Peter's pounding on the door. And they didn't even believe it was him. What do you mean, great faith? Well, it's great faith to pray. Just to decide, I will pray. Yeah. I'm going to pray about this. I'm going to seek the Lord about this. I'm going to stretch the limits of my prayer life for this. Because I know if I do, God can do a great work. James says, the effectual, fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Verse number 6. When Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. I think this is a beautiful picture of the peace of God that Peter had. You know he has to understand what's going to happen tomorrow. He's going to have his head taken off of his body, and he's asleep. Is there anybody in here, if you knew that, if you knew this was you sitting in this disgusting prison, and it was you that was going to have your head removed, and your one of your closest best friends already lost his head yesterday or a few days ago, that you would be sleeping? The peace of God between two soldiers, he says, it says, and with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came to him. And a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side, raising him up, saying, arise quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And there's a couple things we need to see about this. First of all, God is moving, and let's not forget why. Because God's people are praying. God moves in, begins to stir things up, to do his work. Now, it could be that when God showed up, the light shined, and the soldiers just fell over like dead men. Not that they're dead, but just fell over, passed out, off the scene. You don't hear about them, so apparently they're apprehended somehow. Probably passed out on the ground. Remember the soldiers who saw the light with Paul on the Damascus Road. They were on the dirt just like Paul was. Peter's still asleep. I mean, the Shekinah, if it was the Shekinah glory of God, and Peter is asleep in through it. The angel had to kick him to wake him up. I mean, I mentioned that he was asleep and the peace that he had, but I know somebody who's in this room that I think this would happen to, that sleeps like this. I'm not going to say his name, but So he kicks him in his side. That's, by the way, I think what he need to do there next time. But that's not the only thing that happened. It says, of course, the angel says, "Rise up quickly." His chains fell off his hands. Just poof, fell off. Verse 8. The angel said to him, "Gird thyself." Gird thyself means, pull up your garments. We're getting ready to run. I mean, get yourself prepared to run. Your outer coat, tuck it into your belt. Gird yourself, right? In verse 8, he goes on, "And bind on thy sandals." So he did. And he saith unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." He went out and followed him, and wist not what it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision, thought he was dreaming. And they were past the first and second ward. They came into an iron gate leading into the city. And the Bible says this iron gate opened up all by itself. And you can imagine the scene where you have one spectacular, incredible thing happening after another thing. The light, the shackles coming off. I mean, obviously the angel kicking him, "Put your sandals on, gird yourself." And they go out. The soldiers, we don't know, but they're passed out on the ground. All the doors are opening up. The gates are opening up. And all of these things are happening. Miracle after miracle taking place. Verse 10, of their own accord, they went out, passed through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. Peter was come to himself. I wonder how long it took. I wonder how long he was outside of the gate, down the street. The angel left, and he realized what happened. What just happened? You ever been there? Well, he's starting to figure it out. It says he came to himself, and he said, "Now I know of a surety," verse 11, "that the Lord hath sent his angel, and hath delivered him out of the house, or rather the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." Whenever he considered the thing, where did he go? He went to church. He went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. They were gathered together praying. The church, almost always in Bible times like this, met in people's homes. And Mark was a good friend of Peter, we know, because of the Gospel of Mark. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Mark was written by Mark. And John Mark, traveled with Peter and would have been almost like an amanuense. Mark wasn't an apostle. He didn't walk with Jesus. So his story would have come likely from Peter. So, good friends with Peter. And he received information, as I said. Verse 13, Peter knocked on the door of the, on the door of the gate. The damsel came to hearken. Her name's Rhoda. Rose. So a rose came to the door. She heard the voice of Peter. And this is funny to me, as I was thinking about this earlier. She heard his voice, and she knew that it was him. She didn't open the door because she was so excited. You know, there's a lot of funny things about that. And he's standing at the door. She's so excited, she takes off, and he's still there. And now if you're Peter, you're standing outside, you're getting a little bit nervous. What if they find me? Surely they're looking for me. The doors flew wide open, and Peter is gone. They are on the search. And Peter's standing out there banging on the doors. She came running in, verse 14, told how Peter stood before the gate. Now, this is where we normally are, church, in our prayer life. We can relate with this church here. Even though they might be faithful to pray, sometimes we're surprised when God answers our prayers, aren't we? Or we don't expect it. And they said to him, "Thou art mad." So, I mean, let's catch the visual. Ready? Here's what's happening. Ready? Oh, Lord, please free Peter. Oh, Lord. Rhoda, go get the door. Lord, please free Peter. Guys, Peter's at the door. Rhoda. Man, go back to the kitchen. We are praying for Peter. Can you see it? That's how we are sometimes. Just like the church here who are praying and call Rhoda mad, Rose. Now, she constantly affirmed that it was even so, and I'm thinking about Peter who's standing outside still. And they're in here arguing about this. I wonder how long this argument goes on and Peter's still standing at the door. Then they make this brilliant, conclusion, come to this brilliant conclusion. Maybe it's his angel. Now, that sounds crazy, but, the Jews had a common tradition. They believed that every person has his very own angel, sort of like a guardian angel. And so maybe it's an angel or Peter's angel that has taken on the form of Peter. Now, to me, that's a little bit more far-fetched than just believing that Peter got freed out of prison. But that's the conclusion they came to. They were so dead set on convincing themselves that their prayers weren't working that they convinced themselves that it was an angel at the door and not Peter. Do you understand how we can be sometimes when it comes to this thing of prayer? That we doubt so much that God will actually answer our prayers that we think things like that? Well, I'll pray about this, but I don't see how God can do this at all. I don't see how God can fix this problem or take care of this issue or work in that person's life. I just don't see how it can happen. And then we come back to Peter, and he is still knocking on the door. Verse 16, Peter continues knocking, and when they had opened the door, they saw him, and as we already knew was going to happen, they were totally astonished. Astonished means they were standing there with their mouths open. No words were coming out. Totally blown away. He beckoned unto them with the hand to hold their peace. So I can hear him knocking on the door. He's been out there for probably 15 minutes while the church is arguing about whether or not he's out there. He's knocking. He's trying not to be too loud. He keeps looking around, see if soldiers are going to run up the street because he just busted out of the slammer, and of the Lord. The Lord did it, right? It's okay to bust out of the slammer if God does it. So he's knocking on the door. He's trying to be quiet. And he's looking around, and then the door flies open, and you can imagine the tumult at that point as people are yelling and rejoicing, and it is true, and God did answer our prayers, and Peter's saying, be quiet, close the door, So God answered their prayers, and what a joy they had. God brought him out of the prison, it says. And they rejoiced together. Yeah. Do you know what I think we need to understand from this story tonight? That nothing is hopeless when we pray. Nothing. We face hopeless situations from our perspective, don't we? Oh man, look at this. Whether it's our character, whether it's a condition, whether it's a struggle, whether it's a family member, there's a host of things, a job situation, a vehicle situation, a financial situation. And from our perspective, it looks hopeless. But with God, nothing is hopeless. That kind of just ring or rolls out, doesn't it? It's not hard to agree with that. You listen to this story, you hear this kind of a message, and generally, especially all that are here, you would say, amen, preacher, amen. Nothing's hopeless when you pray. But we need to let it touch us so much that we understand the reality of it. And not just agree with it intellectually, but say, I believe that. I truly believe that nothing is hopeless when I pray. And yes, I might fret, I might worry, I might struggle, But every time I get on my knees and I seek the Lord and I pray, then I know that God can do a miracle in this. Whatever it is that your struggle is, you can seek the Lord and by faith trust that without, with Him, nothing's impossible. Nothing is hopeless. Nothing is without without our reach, or without the reach of God when we pray. So I guess tonight the challenge is very simple. Are you praying like you should? Are you praying like that, like you believe that nothing is hopeless if you pray? And I know that sometimes our prayer life manifests itself like the church did in this story. Oh, I'm praying. And then God works, or God is working behind the scenes, and we're praying yet with doubt in our heart. Let me encourage you. Pray in faith. Pray trusting that God can do it. Now, I don't think we should make demands. I think we should pray and seek God's will. Seek the will of God. Thy will be done. Right? So when we pray, we ask God's will, but I don't think there's one thing wrong with being specific and on asking God to free us from the shackles, or rather free Peter from the shackles. That's fairly specific prayer. That we can be specific in what we pray for and ask God for a freedom, or for God to work in that person's heart. Or to God to work in the health of this situation. Or to work in the discipline of my life in this particular situation. But that we would pray and wait and watch God do the work. I think there should be a revival of our prayer life tonight. I wanted to take a break from Peter, from 1 Peter, and come here and talk about how God freed Peter on this day through the prayer of God's people. He used it. You know why God put those prayer that the church was praying? Because He wanted you and I to know that Peter was freed because of those prayers. They're not that those verses aren't there on accident. God works in prayer. And we need to pray. And we need to believe that God works in prayer. He's demonstrated Himself faithful. So I challenge you to pray and watch God do it. Surely you've already experienced God answering prayers in your life. Now let's continue to put Him to the test. Father, tonight we praise You for Your blessing, and we remember that nothing is impossible when we pray. And we thank You for the testimony of the church and Peter, Lord, partly in their faithfulness to pray and then also in their response, because we can relate with both of those. We thank You for how You worked in bringing Peter out of that prison. And God, we thank You for how You've already worked in our lives. We think of the answer of prayer of this particular person we've been praying for to be saved. We praise You for that. We pray that You'll go before us. And Lord, speak to us and help us to have a revival in our prayer life tonight. We give You glory in Jesus' name. Let's stand together. I think tonight's message will be appropriate for us to pray. Amen? So let's have a time of prayer. Okay, well, if I could get your attention, we're going to take up the offering. So Brother Eric's going to do that. We'll prepare. Grant can help out with the offering. Okay, we ready to pray? Let's pray for the offering. Father, we pray your blessings upon the offering. Bless the gift and the giver in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, just a few announcements. Just want to make sure everybody knows the Christmas party for tomorrow night has already been canceled. I just haven't had a chance to let everybody know about it. So we're not going to be doing that. Also, is there anything else we need to announce? Yeah, right. Yeah, well, we've already made, but we have a different thing in mind. Brother Chad and I have already been talking about, so we'll see if we can schedule that. Although the second one will involve the kids, so it won't be, you know, as peaceful as what the Christmas party could have been, but it'll be a good time anyway. Yeah, right. Well, you can wear it anyway. Okay, we'll keep it because we're going to go ahead and try this sometime. I wanted to say in closing, I was sitting there just a minute ago, and I was thinking about the church when they finally realized it was Peter, and then they cheered all together, right? Imagine you're a part of that church later when you realize God answered your prayers. Doesn't that increase your faith and say, oh, I need to be praying more? You know, and I want to challenge you to seek the Lord and pray. Watch God answer your prayer and he'll increase your faith just like he did the early church on that day. Well, praise God. Let's be dismissed in prayer. So let's stand together. Brother Dave, it's good to have you back. Would you be able to dismiss us? Okay. Let's see. Brother Eric, would you dismiss us in prayer, please? Amen. You're dismissed.